T-minus 91. 10 Downing Street, London, England. The past year, while disappointingly uneventful for some in New York and on New Kerguelen, had been anything but in London. Prime Minister John Cole didn't mind one bit, however, since much of the almost unprecedented domestic political turbulence had landed him back in number 10 after some help from his former boss and former enemy, the inimitable William Godfrey. Cole, whose meteoric rise to power had been matched in pace only by the fall that followed, owed his position entirely to Godfrey. Initially, the success of his small populist party landed him a role in Godfrey's coalition government, and his masterful rabble-rousing over the IDA leak had won him a place at Godfrey's right hand. The rest of the story was equally well known, with Godfrey's move to the fledgling GSC having left the door open for Cole to take the top job, only for Cole's disastrous link-up with the now incarcerated Jack Neal to quickly result in his shameful resignation. Cole's name had been dirt, until Chinese Premier Ding Ziyang essentially recruited him as a tool with which to provoke Godfrey and President Slater. From his ELF office in Havana, Cole had then won back Godfrey's favor by following Emma Ford's advice on how to contain Jack and the alien squadron who were under his control. Without too much hyperbole, Cole's willingness to cooperate, albeit driven by his jealousy of Jack's contact with the hostile aliens, had quite possibly held off humanity's destruction long enough for Dan McCarthy and Tara Ford to prevent it altogether. No one but Cole would ever claim with a straight face that he had saved the world, but he had undoubtedly played his part. Dan, for his part, still trusted Cole less than the weather app on his phone. Since the events in Havana, Cole's requests for a top job at Unica had been vetoed by President Slater, who was slow to forgive his reckless and politically motivated decision to unilaterally leak information about Comet Il Diavolo's approach and send the world into several days of chaotic and sometimes deadly riots. But with Jack Neal utterly out of the picture, jailed for life for the specific charges of money laundering and conspiracy to commit terrorist atrocities during his association with the fortunately defunct Geosovs, Godfrey had seen fit to reward Cole in a meaningful way. He did this by supporting Cole's challenge for the leadership of a party whose base still saw Godfrey as the main man. That endorsement, along with some good old-fashioned smear stories, was all it took to shunt aside former Prime Minister David Hurst, who had done an unspectacular job of keeping the chair warm for a while. Cole had been working hard to pressure European governments into ceding some ground in their arguments over Unica's deadlock-stricken voting structure, but their obstinance led him to recommend a breakaway agency in Godfrey's old stomping ground in Buenos Aires, which proved to be a popular idea in Beijing and Washington. Birchwood, the last brick in the wall, was frustratingly, for Cole, the one place where he had zero influence. Cole's ideal world wouldn't have Dan McCarthy in it at all, but as an apolitical figurehead, he didn't pose any real problems. Indeed, Dan's willingness, or otherwise, to move Earth's sole legitimate contact-focused agency from New York to Argentina was the only factor still at play. Once Dan was fully on their side in that regard, the real work could begin. Ding Ziyang liked Cole, William Godfrey no longer hated Cole, and Cole was more than tolerant of both of them. The stick in the mud was Valerie Slater, who had never had a particularly cordial relationship with Godfrey or Ding, and who remained positively hostile to Cole. But once Unica was dead and the new ICA could set up shop outside of the United States, Slater's default position as one of the agency's top dogs could be at risk. If Cole had his way, it would be at risk. Ding was going nowhere, since China's participation was so crucial, while Godfrey was the obvious and uncontroversial choice for the new chairman role, and Dan would remain as figurehead. But the third piece of the political triangle, beneath Godfrey and beside Ding, was potentially up for grabs. Counting on Godfrey to make the case for a breakaway and counting on Dan to listen, John Cole watched events in New York with interest. He was prepared to bide his time and settle back into his prime ministerial role before making a move, and allowing Slater to assume a position at the new ICA equivalent to the one she currently held at Unica made sense from a strategic standpoint. After a while, though, and with Godfrey's help, Cole intended to give Valerie Slater the David Hurst treatment by doing whatever it took to ruin her. The third spot in that triangle was rightfully his, and there was nothing Slater could do but keep his chair warm in the meantime.